Once again, that's the great Bob Mamet from a CD called London House Blues. You can see Bobby live Tuesday at 8 o'clock at Jazz Showcase. Just go to Bob Mamet, that's MAMET.com. It seems to me almost inconceivable that I have sitting in front of me a book called Wisconsin Supper Clubs, Another Round, because this is the second book by my friend Ron Faola about more supper clubs in Wisconsin. I can't actually believe it, Ron, and you don't look too heavy.
Yeah. Well, you know,
your first book in 2013, Ron published a book. And this, Ron and I go way back. I met him through his food-focused film, a thing called Fish Fry Milwaukee. Remember that?
Fish Fry Night Milwaukee, yeah.
You're a filmmaker by trade and just kind of fell into the literary life, didn't you?
I did it because of lack of work, and I went and made a fish fry movie. So, and that led to all this, which is amazing.
It is kind of amazing, but it is undeniably charming. Your first book was Wisconsin Supper Clubs, an old-fashioned experience, because old-fashioned's being, it's a play on words. Old,
right.
This book doesn't mince words. The newest book, which is actually, I must say, with all due respect to that first one, this book is really, really handsome.
Thank you. The other one's
a nice book, no question about it, but this one is gorgeous. How did this happen? Did the first one sell so well that
they
said, go find some more? All right, I'm going to ask you, are all these places real in here? Just joking. Just joking. There are 50
course.
More. Go ahead.
As soon as the first book came out, I had people talking to me and saying, you haven't been to this place, you haven't been to that place. And originally my plan was to do 100 places. So I only did 50 in the first book.
But you got led, because of that first book, you got sort of led to places you may never have heard of otherwise, right?
A few, yeah. And some good recommendations. And that was great because a lot of these places, even then, you know, weren't on the radar as far as the internet and so on. So it was great to get somebody to say, I've been to this place and I really, really like it. And that was the case of the place that's on the cover, which is the Silver Birch and Tomahawk. And
you must understand, in listening to Ron Faola here talking, that he is a one-man band. He doesn't have a bunch of people going out to research all of these places. He's an incredibly affable guy with a cool goatee and everything. But he drives to all of these places himself. He takes all of the pictures that pepper this book by himself, whether it's a picture of the view from outside or whether a picture of a guy cutting up his own steaks. You once defined, Ron, you made this supper club film, and the way you described a supper club to me was Christmas lights strung across log structures year-round, waitresses that call you hon, pre-supper relish tray preferably served on stainless steel, and no cappuccino ever. You stand by that, don't you?
Absolutely. You know, I call the holy trinity of supper club decorations is dark wood paneling, some taxidermy, and twinkly lights. So,
what, you know, the other thing, the reason I admire you for your workaholism in doing this, but the other thing about it, I admire the people who run these places because these are, you know, that's not hip food. It's not, you know, Hubbard Street down here. It is generally, I'm generalizing, family run or run by people without aspirations of starting a chain of restaurants. There's something wonderfully, again, old fashioned about them. What makes people want to run a place like these?
You know, it's for the love of their customers, and it's not about the money.
It can't be.
Yeah, because I've talked about this before, that if you really wanted to make money, you'd go make pizzas or something, you know, do something different. But these places are expensive to run, and it's their homes. They live in these places, upstairs or next door. This is their home, so they're welcoming you to their living room or dining room in a sense.
Can you generalize much about the kinds of people you've now? I'm sure you've been to way more than 100, but you have cataloged 100 in these two companion books. Are there certain qualities that these people all share? They certainly want to meet people because they are the hosts.
Right, and that's an important thing. It's like, for myself, I could not run a supper club because I'm not a real, outgoing guy.
You are. Well, I think you are.
You think you are.
You could run a supper club for just me. Yeah. That would be great. That'd
if you showed up every day,
I'd be in a...
But it's hard for me to just be, like, super happy all the time or that's what these people do is they welcome people to their house, basically, and say, hey, tonight we have a special on this, and and it's recipes that are handed down over the generations and so on. And
let me ask you another thing about these people that I find very, very interesting, in that many of them, probably some of these places are near resorts. Some of these places are not near resorts. Some of these places are like the neighborhood bar, let's say, in Chicago. And it's the same crowd of customers. They're not all of a sudden going to get, like, swamped by customers. There must be some real pride in that ability to provide consistency, yeah?
Sure, certainly. And times when they've had regulars that don't show up and they'll call their home.
Oh, wow.
To say, yeah. Are you okay?
Yeah.
And likewise, if the owner doesn't show up, the regulars are concerned about what's going on with them. And these are places that not only are just supper clubs, but they're gathering places for veterans groups or Lions clubs and so on. And so it's a community gathering place.
And many of them are decade. There may be some that maybe, I guess, could be pushing 100 years.
There are some.
Wow. Now, they advertise for Ishnala on here. That was in your last book.
Yeah.
When you meet these people and tell them, one of the great things about Ron's book, Wisconsin Supper Clubs, another round, because there's an old-fashioned glass sitting on the cover, is the faces of the people. They seem, there's some,
they're
some
proud.
Pride. Yes, that's exactly
proud.
The word I'm looking for. They must be incredibly pleased to be part of the book. When you go up there and say, hey, can I have a steak and can I take some pictures and I tell me your story.
And one of the things that people, when I do presentations and show slides and answer questions, the food that comes out that I take photographs of is I don't do any food styling to it.
Right.
So
and I would eat this steak. I would eat this page right here. Where is this place? I would eat the, you don't have to tell me. I can look. I can find it here. But, the Stagecoach. That's just a great name for a place.
Plus a really awesome neon sign.
Yeah, no kidding. Was there there obviously was at some point, take me back through some history of this place. These places started why?
A lot of it started during the early 20th century, where they were dance halls. People would have weddings there, and they were taverns and roadhouses and really gathering places for these small communities that didn't have much anything else to do. And as during Prohibition, they certainly...
Oh, I'm sure they stayed open, yeah.
They stayed open.
They changed. We're an ice cream parlor now. We're fine. We're a soda fountain.
They would say ice cream parlor, but you certainly could get
anything
you wanted.
And that,
with the help of a lot of Chicago friends. And the one thing I say is I've finally been to more supper clubs than Al Capone, because every place I go to, they say, well, Al Capone was here.
Used to come here. Al Capone lived here.
Apparently,
yeah.
He did not spend much time in Chicago. He was in
at the boarding house supper club exactly. In Surrey.
Certainly his guys were there, you know, at least.
No question. They all used to go up. They all used to go up and vacation up there. There is a sense, I think, and I've written about this before, about your previous book, that these kind of places are fading away. Are they?
They were when I first did the
movie. Yeah, I remember we talked about that. Yeah.
And as I started doing the movie, and now there's two books, at least the places that are covered in all three of these things are doing really well. You know?
Why do you think that? Do you think I mean, certainly there's some, I think I know why, man. There's certainly some sort of nostalgic aspect to it, too. But there's also, if you live in a place like Chicago or Milwaukee, I know Milwaukee has a couple good supper clubs, or one, several. But if you live in a city, this is a kind of lovely throwback, and it's also, it's kind of retro hip, too, don't you think?
Yeah, because we've been watching Mad Men, and we're all these sub-channels we suddenly got on TV are showing old TV shows that would reference supper clubs and old fashions.
Like Masters of Sex. This thing about Masters and Johnson, that references it too.
Right.
It is a fascinating world you live in, Ron Fiola, and we will explore it even more after a short commercial break. I'm talking with my friend Ron Fiola, who has, believe it or not, another book out about supper clubs of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Supper Clubs, another round, 50 more favorites from across the state. And as we were just talking, he's saying that some of these places are really thriving now, that there is a new, and it's got to be because of you, pal, a new interest in these places where people will go out of their way to discover the joys of places in, and you also discover Wisconsin's a pretty state.
It's not
like you're driving, you know, down southern Illinois or something. I mean, it's pretty up there, too.
Yeah, there's waterfalls and a great, you know, we have the Nicolet National Forest up there. And
did anything, I can't imagine, Ron, that anything surprises you about supper clubs anymore.
No.
Yeah, I mean, how could you be?
I've seen everything. In fact, on this tour, when I would go around to supper clubs, the owners would actually sit down with me and have a off the record, tell me about what the other guys are doing.
Is that right? Yeah, you became a do-it-yourself industrial spy. Like this is Ishnala place that we just ran a commercial for. Right. That was in your first book, right?
Right.
Do you know that guy who did the commercial?
Bob's a great guy, and Bob Prosser, he's the president of the company and really takes pride in the place. The Hoffman brothers built it.
Wow.
And he worked at the one of the Hoffman houses. There used to be several Hoffman House restaurants around the Midwest, and there's only one left in Rockford.
Wow.
And that's where Bob is. That's where his office is right now, but Ishnala is pride and joy. So,
is there any other state that in any way or fashion rivals Wisconsin for supper clubs?
No.
Why do you think that is?
Well,
you think maybe like Michigan might have, or who knows?
No, you know, it's weird because people say, well, there must be other supper clubs. And I say, sure. You know, Minnesota might have 6 or 7. Iowa has 4 or 5.
Right. Illinois may have a couple.
And the UP and Michigan itself, you know, a few. But Wisconsin has a couple hundred. And it really took hold here, or in Wisconsin.
That means like two more volumes of your books, though. That's the other thing.
Well, you know,
it's a gift that never stops giving.
And I'm still staying to the lunch or supper only, no lunch. But now here in Chicago, you've got Millie's Supper Club.
Right. And right. Are you doing an event there?
I'm going to be there tomorrow night.
And, what time?
It's a 6 o'clock dinner, and you get a book and a dinner, and you should call and get a reservation to get in. But they're doing it very authentically.
Where is Millie's?
Millie's is.
See, I didn't even fight. The only last supper clubs I've been to are in Wisconsin. Where is it here?
Millie's is on Lincoln Avenue, and it was the old Lounge Axe.
Oh, my God, the old Lounge Axe.
In fact, they still have the same sound system in there.
Oh, wow.
Emlyn Thomas told me, it was like, oh, we've got the old sound system. And I used to see a ton of bands at Lounge Axe.
Oh, yeah, who didn't? Yeah. Who didn't? Oh, that's great. 6 o'clock, it's called Millie's, M-I-L-L-I-E apostrophe S.
Yeah, exactly.
Go look that up, ladies and gentlemen. You should come
Millie's
here
and
get the book. Agate Publishing, your publisher, must be very happy with you. I think the first book took them by surprise.
It did, because originally when the book came out, the pre-sale orders on Amazon sold out of all their printings before the book actually was released.
That's great.
And
that's great.
They scrambled to fill future orders and. Since then, it's been great.
Consistent kind of seller. I suppose they sell copies of the books at each of these places, too.
Not every...
The pride doesn't extend to selling your books? That's terrible.
Not every place has them, but a lot of them do. And what I just did was I came up with a sticker that says, as featured in, kind of like a TripAdvisor Yelp.
Good
sticker.
Idea. Good and idea.
So I had the publisher print up these things that has the cover of the book they're in.
That's a very good idea.
And
these places exist. I'm sure many of them have websites and Yelp stuff. Some probably don't.
Some don't, but now they do. I mean, back when I was first doing when I talked to you back in 2009 or 2010 when my Fish Fry movie was out, and you asked me what my next movie would be.
Yeah,
I said I'm going to do a Supper Club movie. It was hard to find these guys.
I'll bet it was probably all like word of mouth, right?
Right.
Yeah, there was something fun about that, though, man.
No question.
Now, do you have supper clubs now, especially after this book comes out? Going, hey, how come I'm not in either of your books? Do you have people doing that?
I do. And actually, there's a story in this book, the new book, that a woman who worked at Cutsy's in Stanley, it's just west of Wausau, she was a waitress there, and she sent me an email saying, I saw an article on your first book, and why don't you come out and visit us sometime? She didn't say we should be in another book. Her name was Jenna, and... I went out there, and now they're in the book.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening in Wisconsin, and you own a supper club or you go to a supper club that you think is really good, you should either email me or you can track down Ron.
Find me, but I've also had other people say, "Why isn't this place in your club or in your book?"
That's inevitable, though. You cannot make everybody happy. How many are there in the Dells? Because you would is there still a good one in the Dells, or are there a couple?
Well, between Ishnala and the Dell Bar, which is in the new book.
Uh-huh.
Those are two fabulous places to go in the Dells, and. Otherwise, the Dells, is really a family restaurant kind of place.
And I'm sure I haven't been up there in many, many years, but I'm sure it's gotten kind of homogenized with, a lot of fast food places and, I'm sure McDonald's.
Gimmicks, a lot of gimmicks, there's a place that has train-delivered food and, so on.
Ron, you are like a, in many ways to me, Ron Failey, you're like a, you're like Alan Lomax, who was kept alive the music of Appalachia and the South years, decades ago for the Smithsonian. Do you feel that sense? You got to feel that sense of history here that you are. I don't. I'm not saying these places are going to vanish, but someday they will. Someday they will. There'll be just too many roads, or
right, or they'll be completely different, or really radically changed, or something, or not what they were. And it's to me, it's that's why I want to preserve the history and show what they're doing and.
I think that's what you do with your films too, with the whole, you know, the Tilt-A-Whirls, Cowbells and Beer was about, you know, sort of church fundraising efforts in generally in small towns, and some of it was kind of sad because there was one that was just doing its last one. That was a
thing where between new safety regulations and insurance and so on, and lack of volunteers, these places were disappearing. So it's kind of like the Supper Club story, where people, at least back in the day, you know, and we're still losing some supper clubs here and there.
Oh, sure, but anything we're losing. But you have done a remarkable job. I think. Really, and I've heard from people saying that they bought your books and they have, like, you know, they always go to Wisconsin and they've started exploring different supper clubs. They obviously can't be heavy drinkers because you got to drive around there, but you're keeping this alive.
And what I find is that when I sign books or I'm doing book presentations, that people come up and say, you know, we take this on the road. We have the owners sign their pictures.
Oh, how great.
We have the staff members. And then we put in notes of what we had and how good the food was.
That's
and all
great.
That stuff.
It's kind of a low-tech kind of way to – it's a low-tech hobby.
Yeah.
And it's a calorie-heavy hobby.
Well, you know, people initially describe the book as a coffee table book. But it's anything
no,
but,
it
you know,
be,
people have been taking it on
it's
the
your
road.
Back seat. It's a back seat book. Ron, I can't, I'm proud of you. I think this is a great thing that you're doing. You're keeping alive.
Well, again, you are part of the inspiration
right.
for it.
You owe me an old fashioned the next time we're in a place. Ron Failer will be signing his book and having dinner at Millie's. Just go to, look it up. MILLIE'S, a supper club in the old space of Lounge Jacks here in Chicago tomorrow night.
Yep.
Ron, keep me posted. You're one of my great adventurers, pal. You really, really are.
You
can
you
go
man.
To his website, too. RONFAIOLA. RONFAIOLA.com. And see what he's up to. Get both books, because he says there are 100 more there, so that will be 4 volumes eventually. We will be right back, and I'll say goodnight.
Never miss a story with Chicago's very own news team.
I'm Steve Gordanich on Chicago's very own.
I'm Kim Gordon on Chicago's very own.
Veronica Carter on Chicago's very own.
On 720.
WGN.
Well, thank you all for listening. That was a busy show. We had Elif Garris, who's not even in here, doing her second Elif Around Town, going to Ravinia. We'll see where she goes next. Thanks, Brett, for engineering. Thanks, Elif. Thanks, Bob Kessler, for doing the news. And thank you all for listening.